grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Amen.
The text of our sermon today is Mark chapter 2, verses 18 to 22. The disciples of John and of the Pharisees were fasting. Then they came and said to him, "Why do the disciples of John and of the Pharisees fast, but your disciples do not fast?" And Jesus said to them, "Can the friends of the bridegroom fast while the bridegroom is with them? As long as they have the bridegroom with them, they cannot fast. But the days will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them, and then they'll fast in those days. No one sews a piece of unshrunk cloth on an old garment, or else the new piece pulls away from the old, and the tear is made worse. And no one puts new wine into old wineskins, or else the new wine bursts the wineskins, the wine is spilled, and the wineskins are ruined. But the new wine must be put into new wineskins." Lord God, Heavenly Father, sanctify us through your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Dear friends in Christ, today is the third Sunday after Easter. It is Jubilati Sunday, which means joy. Listen to the words of Psalm 23. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever." This psalm gives expression to the Christian's holy joy in his Lord and Shepherd. There he sings the praises of Jesus, who provides all that he needs for body and soul. Green pastures, still refreshing waters, sweet soul-restoring comfort, guidance and protection in times of great dangers. And this joy continues. Even though fearful storms may sweep down, and mighty enemies threaten to attack him, even in the shadow of death, this joy is not destroyed. On the contrary, it is this joy in the Lord that enables him to bear up and carry on under all circumstances. Therefore, he concludes his song with a triumphant conviction, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever." It is sad that Christians so often forget and fail to appreciate the joy in the Lord. Some Christians are more inclined to think of their sorrows and to complain of their hardships, and thus they make their burdens heavier and even more difficult to bear. So look up to your Lord. Study what the Scripture says about his person and his office. Today our text tells us how to have joy in the Lord. May the Lord bless a meditation. Firstly, in what our joy in the Lord consists. Our text begins, "The disciples of John and of the Pharisees were fasting. Then they came and said to him, 'Why do the disciples of John and of the Pharisees fast, but your disciples do not fast?'" Fasting means abstaining from taking food for a certain time, and rightly understood, it is expressive of sorrow or sadness and repentance. However, the Pharisees understood it to be an act of worship, whereby they would merit God's favour. And the disciples of John seem to have accepted this erroneous idea. They do not enjoy Jesus. There is criticism, contempt, and no joy in the Lord. So Jesus answers, "Can the friends of the bridegroom fast while the bridegroom is with them? As long as they have the bridegroom with them, they cannot fast. Jesus uses a striking illustration, a wedding feast. There is joy, happiness and gladness at a wedding. There is no sorrow and there is no sadness. Everybody is happy. Jesus is the bridegroom. Imagine the joy of the disciples when they saw his wonderful miracles. The healing of the sick, the raising of the dead, the stilling of the storm. These are all exhibitions of Jesus' marvellous power and wisdom. When they heard his magnificent sermons, so filled with sweet comfort, a strong feeling of elation must have swept through their souls. Our Lord and Master, none else is like him. It is true that much of their joy was based upon earthly expectations, but that was burned away in the fire of their Master's suffering and death. Our text says, "But the days will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them, and then they will fast in those days." Jesus is the bridegroom. We read in Hosea chapter 2 verse 19, "I will betroth you to me forever. Yes, I will betroth you to me in righteousness and justice, in loving kindness and in mercy." In order to understand in some measure the magnitude of the bridegroom's love and beauty, we must remember the pitiful state of the bride, the church. She was not beautiful. She had been unfaithful. She had listened to the seducer. She had thus lost her beauty. She was utterly ruined. No hope at all. Before her stood death and damnation. She had become abominable in the sight of the Holy Lord. She was laying in the gutter of sin and liked it. But now look at the wonderful loving kindness of the bridegroom. Instead of spurning her forever, he left his heavenly glory and stepped down to her, partaking of her flesh and blood. He suffered and died for her. And with his own blood, he washed away the filth and the shame and made her beautiful. He covered her shame with the beautiful robe of his righteousness. Was there ever such a bridegroom? Yes, our glorious Saviour, who has redeemed us, a lost and condemned creature. He has freed me from sin, death, and the power of the devil, not with silver or gold, but with his holy and precious blood and his innocent suffering and death. All this he has done, that I might be his own, live under him in his kingdom, and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness, just as he is risen from the dead and rules and lives eternally. That is our joy in Christ. Therefore the angel proclaimed at Jesus' birth, "Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, and this joy is everlasting." Jesus' disciples, later on in his service, met with the bitter hatred and cruelty of his enemies. They suffered persecutions, but in all these sufferings they had not lost that joy in the Lord. They knew that their Master was with them, guiding their steps, shaping things for their good, and giving them strength to endure. For was not their Lord exalted above everything, having all power in the world? They would see him again in his divine glory and enjoy that glory themselves forever. And the same is with us. We study the life of our Redeemer in Holy Scripture. We see him suffer and die for us. We see him rise triumphantly from the grave, ascend to heaven, and rules the whole world. And that is our Lord. It is for us that he did that. We are therefore safe with him, safe in tribulations, safe in persecutions, and safe in death. That is our joy in the Lord. Do you too have this joy? Let me tell you how it is obtained. So secondly, how our joy in the Lord is obtained. Our text says that no one sews a piece of unshrunk cloth on an old garment, or else the new piece pulls away from the old and the tear is made worse. And no one puts new wine into an old wineskin, or else the new wine bursts the wineskins, the wine is spilled, and the wineskins are ruined. But new wine must be put into new wineskins. An old garment is rotten and it easily tears. If you mend an old garment with a new piece of cloth, you do a foolish thing. For such mending will not hold, and the tear is made worse. The wineskins mentioned in our text were made from goat hides. New wine is strong, it ferments and it expands. If you put such new wine into an old leather bottle, they will burst. They are too old to withstand the pressure. Therefore, the rule is to put new wine into new wineskins. So the meaning of the parable is this. The Pharisees had the notion that they could work out their own salvation. And this is the pride of natural humans. By keeping the law, augmented by their own laws, they thought that they could earn God's favour. That was their old garment, their old wineskins. But that garment was rotten. Our own righteousness is as filthy rags. It cannot be mended by patching it. And as long as these people remained in such a state of mind, they could not receive the new wine of the gospel. Indeed, they refused to believe in Jesus as their Redeemer. In fact, they hated him with a bitter hatred. And they have many followers today. Be good, and then you'll get to heaven. Be honest and upright in your dealings with your fellow men. Or do your duty as you see best. Be faithful to your wife, etc. They think that such virtuous lives is the path to heaven. Such conduct is good before the tribunal of the state, and therefore they argue ought to be good before the tribunal of God. Consequently, they accept some of the teachings of Christ, especially those pertaining to their conduct. Some people may even accept Jesus as a Redeemer, but only as far as their weakness or failings are concerned. Thus, they attempt to mend their old garment with new cloth, or to put new wine into old wineskins. But the Lord emphatically declares that that will not do. In this way, the joy of the Lord is not obtained. There must be a complete change. Study God's holy law. See what the law really demands. It demands perfection, that spotless holiness, that snow-white purity, which ought to be yours. Hear that threatening voice which curses with an eternal curse everyone who fails in just one point of its fulfillment. Then, if you realize your utter inability to obtain such perfection and to escape that dreadful curse, then you have understood the law properly. Then you will throw away that foolish pride, become humble, and acknowledge that you are a lost and condemned creature. Then listen to the gladsome news of the gospel, that God himself has wrought perfection for you. He has gained the forgiveness of your sins, freedom from that curse, and comfort your soul with the glorious truth that Jesus is your Redeemer and Saviour. Now you have obtained joy in the Lord. Now you understand the rapture of the psalmist. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He restores my soul. Likewise, in Psalm 103, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Remember how Mary sang and rejoiced in Luke chapter 1, verses 46 and 47. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Saviour. Nicodemus thought that the old garment could be patched, but Jesus told him, Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Jesus continued to teach Nicodemus and us also that as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Yes, Jesus certainly gives us true and lasting joy. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep our hearts and minds in Christ. Amen.